Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message. All right. So I'm excited because I've got a handful of people in the room. Handful of people, just say hello to me, man. And I want you to know that we are honoring all the mandates. There's less than 10 in this space and people are separated. But man, it is just such a joy to not just be with a camera. And so I'm excited to worship God with you. And to our online family, man, we are in this together. We are not apart spiritually, even though we are socially apart. And God is just going to continue to do amazing things through you and through this church. So I've got a little bit of a timer that's supposed to keep me on track, but I don't know, man. I don't know how long this one's going to go. I'm going to do my best to not kick anything or get so excited. But I just believe that God's got such an amazing word to just share with us this morning. So we're doing this series, Anxious for Nothing. And I believe that this really hits all of us, right? There's not one of us that would say, I don't know, Pastor Keith, I don't think this one's for me. I've never battled with feeling anxious at all. I've never battled with feeling worried at all. I've never battled with being overwhelmed or being afraid. In fact, right now on our live comments, could you just comment to make me feel good? Just say amen if you're there with me in this space. Just give me an amen, right? We felt overwhelmed before. We felt afraid before. We have felt anxious before. But how many believe that God calms all anxiety? Come on, God calms our anxieties. God has a plan for our lives, and so this morning I want you to discover what his plan is for you. I want you to discover the peace of God that goes beyond understanding. And so what we're doing throughout this series is we're reading Philippians chapter 4:4-7 every single week, and I'm so excited because we had so many people text in to be a part of this initiative to memorize Philippians 4:4, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to invite you as well to text in so you can be a part of this. But it says this. Now, I had to memorize the first verse, so I'm not going to look over here, okay? Let me see if I got this. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Okay, that was this past week, so now I'm going to go and look. I haven't memorized verse 5 yet. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I love this. This is our promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, what's so beautiful about this verse is the man who writes it, his name is Paul. And Paul, at the time of his writing, was on house arrest. He was imprisoned. In fact, he was chained to a Roman guard 24/7. And yet, he's writing words like, rejoice always. Don't be anxious for anything. Come on, the peace of God that goes beyond understanding is going to overwhelm your heart. And so this man in jail is encouraging believers, don't be anxious for anything. And I know it's hard, it's challenging. And the beauty of this is, notice the central theme. What does he say? The Lord is near. Rejoice in the Lord. Present your requests to God. The only way that Philippians 4:4-7 actually happens is if we keep Jesus at the center. It's if we keep God at the center of our lives. And so I want to invite you to be a part of this. So you'll see it on the screen. You can text FILL4 to 97,000. And that's an opportunity for you to opt in to get some text messages. FILL4 97,000. And every Monday, you're going to get an update. You're going to get a wallpaper for your phone, or you're going to get a graphic to share online. You're going to get some great creative ways for you to memorize this. So I believe at the end of this series, how good would it be for us to get God's word, not just in here, but in here, in our hearts. Amen. Scripture says that the word of God is our sword of the spirit. It's what we use to combat the enemy. And man, there are moments where I've got to declare, rejoice in the Lord, especially when you're trapped in the house with your kids, all right? We're all navigating this, okay? So just, all right, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Today, I want to talk about a word that's very closely associated with the word anxiety, and it's the word worry. The word worry. When we worry about something, what we do is we put special focus or attention on that thing, right? So if I'm worried about my physical health, guess what's dominating my mind? my physical health. If I'm worried about my finances, I'm always thinking about, I'm putting special focus on my finances. It becomes the top priority in my life. And so just think for a moment when it's silent, which I know maybe, if you got toddlers in your house, you're like, Pastor Keith, what does the word silent mean? Right? But just in those moments where you're alone, when your head hits the pillow, what do you start to think about? Where does your mind go? Well, you're probably going to reveal in that moment what's the top priority in your life, what matters most to you, what it is that you would say, this gets a special focus because I am worried about it. That's what worry does. It reveals what matters most. And I think for all of us, my hand's up, COVID-19, right? We're all just kind of thinking about it. How is this impacting my relationships? How is it impacting the ones that I love? How is it impacting my friends who are losing family members because of this? I was speaking to a friend just yesterday, and he was telling me his mom, COVID-19. She's in a nursing home. The whole nursing home, it just seems like there's no hope. There's no help. And so that's why we're taking this time to look at being worried. Now, here's what I believe worry does at its core, okay? This is what I believe the root is. Worry causes us to forget. When we worry about something, we forget about some other somethings. When we start to embrace worry, all of a sudden that thing that we're worried about, that thing that's most important, that top priority, well, it supersedes the other things that we forget about, and we want to talk about what we forget. So I want to invite you to comment with me right now. Just think, do you want to worry? Go ahead and comment yes or no. Just leave a comment. I want to just see a whole bunch of no's start to go through this chat right now. Do you want to worry? The reality is none of us want to worry. None of us are waking up, man, it's a great Sunday morning to be worried about some stuff. Let me figure out some things that can dominate my thought life. Let me try to forget about some of God's principles and his word and his truth, and instead let me embrace these things that I see. None of you woke up that way this morning. And yet, for so many of us, it's how we're going to navigate this day, this week, this season. So here's the title of my message: Forget to Worry. What if worry causes us to forget? How cool would it be if tomorrow morning, Monday, you could wake up and you could say, you know what I'm going to forget today? I'm going to forget to worry. Out of all the things that I could forget, I lose my keys, I lose my wallet, I'm trying to lose one of my kids, right? Whatever it looks like for you. I'm going to forget to worry. When worry wants to creep, I'm going to say, forget about that. Well, we're from Long Island. Forget about it, right? We're just going to get rid of that. So how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to look at the words of Jesus written for us by a man named Matthew. Now, let me give you a little bit of history on Matthew. Before Matthew started following Jesus, Matthew was a tax collector. And what that meant in the first century Jewish culture is that he was a thief, he was a traitor. He turned his back on his people, sided with Rome, the ruling empire, and really he extorted people. They would come up and say, okay, here's my taxes. He would say, well, that's fine, but your taxes are actually double that. He had the right and the authority from Rome to charge whatever he wanted. So could you imagine this guy that Jesus then says, follow me. Follow me along with Peter, who is a zealot for the Jewish people. Why don't you guys become friends? We're going to have some dinner together. We're going to fish together. Let's get Judas over here. Bring in Bartholomew. Bart, no one's going to remember you in a few thousand years. But we're going to bring you in anyway. Peter, James, John, Thaddeus. Let's just get the whole group. Matthew was one of them. What do you think Matthew most worried about before Jesus called him? Money? Because that's what I think. If you're someone, got my mind on my money on my mind, right? Let's just quote some philosophers. Right? This is what I'm thinking about. Don't you think Matthew woke up and he worried and worried about money before? I can remember a season in my life where I was so worried about money. And I was scheming and I was running scenarios and I had spreadsheets and budgets and figuring out, well, if I pick up a fifth job, maybe we can make it. If we could just spin this, maybe we could get away without doing that. And it consumes us and we worry about it. And so I bring that up because what we're about to read, Matthew heard the sermon that Jesus gave this day, and he writes about it in the book that we call Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, chapter 6. Now, before we read from what I'll call the adult Bible, right? We read this as adults. I want to read from my kids' children's Bible to you, okay? Because I love the way that the Jesus Storybook Bible puts this story in. So let me read just a couple pages from there, and then we're going to get right to Matthew chapter 6. They call it the singer. And that's going to matter in a little bit. Wherever Jesus went, lots of people went too. They loved being near him. Old people, young people, all kinds of people came to see Jesus. Sick people, well people, happy people, sad people, and worried people. Go ahead and leave a comment right now. Just write worried people. He says, and worried people. Lots of them. Worrying about lots of things. What if we don't have enough food? Or clothes? Or suppose we run out of money? What if there isn't enough and everything goes wrong? We won't be all right. What then? When Jesus saw all the people, his heart was filled with love for them. I think right there's a sermon. Because maybe for you today, you think that as God looks at you, his heart is filled with anger and judgment, and he's upset with you. Can I just say that he loves you? He's got a plan for your life. This isn't an accident that you're joining us right now online. It says that he looked at them and he had love for them. Why? Well, they were like a little flock of sheep that didn't have a shepherd to take care of them. So Jesus sat them all down and he talked to them. And that's where we're going to pick it up. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33, what did Jesus say? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Let me pause for a second. Because look at what Jesus does. Jesus tells them not to worry, but notice what he tells them not to worry about. Don't worry about your third car. Don't worry about your vacation time. Don't worry about your bonuses. He doesn't say any of that. I often worry about things like that. I often worry about things that are really leisures and pleasures and honestly, just extra blessings, just things that they're not the basic needs. But what Jesus does is he talks to the crowd and he says, listen, I know what can dominate your mind. I know what you really can think about. It's the basic needs of life. It's not the extra stuff. It's the basic needs. It's where you're worried about food and clothing and water. And what I love that Jesus does is he doesn't disregard the basic need. He doesn't tell them, come on, stop it. You don't need that. You don't need clothes. Back in the garden, they didn't have clothes. He doesn't say any of that. No, you don't need water. You don't need food. He says, just don't worry about it. But notice, Jesus doesn't disregard the fact that you and I need it. But he tells us not to worry. So I'm kind of like, Jesus, what are you doing here? Because you're saying don't worry about it. You know that I need it. You know that it's a part of life. I mean, basic needs, food, clothes, water. It's pretty basic. I'm not asking for a lot here. Don't worry about it. How? He goes on teaching. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I love it because in the mornings now, you know, spring is here. I mean, April showers. My goodness. We're just getting hit. But spring is here, and I love that now we've got the birds and the chirping sounds, and things are starting to bloom. And every morning, my kids, we love to go and look out our window in our dining room, and we can see all these different birds that come through. Cardinals, blue jays, and robins, and birds I can't name, but Joe Reg, you probably can, right? I don't know, but there's just so many of them, and they're beautiful. And as I was reading this past week, I started to shift what I thought when I looked at those birds. Because in light of what Jesus says, he's saying, God cares about each one. God knows every bird that flies into my backyard. Jesus knows them. Jesus cares about them. Right? Jesus is aware of their needs. And what is the word that Jesus says at the beginning of that verse? The word was look. Right? He says, look. First he tells us, look, I understand your basic needs. Food and clothing and water. Don't worry about it. Okay, Jesus, how am I supposed to not worry about it? Look. In fact, right now, just comment the word look. Right? Just look. What he's saying is, worry causes you to look in a different direction. Worry causes your priority list to get all out of sorts. Worry causes you to have your mind dominated by something. So instead, let's shift over here. Let's look differently. Let me give you some visual cues. Look at the birds. Just look at them. Your heavenly Father, he says, cares for them. And I love what he said at the end there. He says, are you not much more valuable than they? You see, worry causes you to forget your value. It's the first thing that worry is going to attack in your mind. When you start to worry about something, you forget how much worth and value you have to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. You forget. I forget. When I start to get worried about my job and my health and my children, my family, all the church, everything, I forget God cares about you, Keith. You're valuable to him. And if you don't believe me, go look at a bird. Right? That's the words of Jesus. Just go look. If I'm taking care of these birds, don't you think you have more value? So let me speak to you animal lovers. God loves your dog, okay? He loves your cat. I'm allergic, so I don't love them. But God, he loves your dog. He loves your cat. He loves your bird. But let me say this. He loves you more. He does. Why? Because you're an image bearer. Because what did we just sing earlier? I am who you say I am. I'm a child of God. And see, worry makes you look the wrong way. It makes you forget your value. Then he says in verse 27, I think this is just kind of a little Jesus jab. He says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Do you know what worry produces? More worry. That's the product of worry. Come on, I could worry all I want about money, and guess what? All my worrying is not going to make any more money appear. I could worry all I want about my life, and not one worry is going to extend my life by a minute, by a year, by anything. I could worry about my kids. It's not going to protect them. My worry has no potential to protect or preserve the thing I'm worried about. So Jesus just says, you know, all you're worrying, it's not even doing anything. It's exhausting you. And then I love it because if birds aren't your thing, Jesus turns to the flowers. Right? He says in verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? Well, Jesus, I'm trying to be socially acceptable. That's why. All right, that's fine. Well, look at the flowers. In the field, they grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If you don't know who Solomon is, Solomon was known as one of the wisest kings of Israel, one of the greatest kings of Israel. He had the most stuff out of all the kings of Israel. And Jesus says, you all, to his Jewish audience, you all know Solomon. You know how great he was. He wasn't dressed as nice as a flower. Everything he had, all of his money, all of his riches, all of his clothes, everything, he didn't even stand a chance next to a rose. My Father takes care of that flower. My Father covers that flower in its beauty. Verse 30, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much clothe you, you of little faith? As I read this, I just hear the compassion in Jesus' voice. Remember what I read from the kids' Bible? He looks out at a flock of sheep without a shepherd, and he's looking at this group of people, and he's seeing them worry about basic needs, and he's saying, you don't get it. Your worry is causing you to forget. It's making you forget your value. It's causing you to forget. And I'm telling you not to worry, and there's so much more that God has for your life. And I love this because in this moment, I'm kind of like, well, Jesus, I'm not a bird. I'm not a flower. I'm a person. So what do I do? Because I don't just wake up and clothes just appear. I don't just go to the fridge and it's just stocked because you've brought me food like you do the birds. So Jesus, what do I do to not worry? Okay, I'm looking now. I'm seeing in your creation the birds and the flowers. I'm getting it. You take care of them. But can you tell me how you're going to take care of me? Because right now, I've got family members who I'm concerned about. Because right now, I'm not sure where the next paycheck's coming from. Because right now, I've got family members who are sick. I got friends who are sick. So what are you going to do for me, the not bird, the not flower? And in his next verse, he tells us. So lean in. He says in verse 31, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? All right, Jesus, you've said that already. Stay with me. Come on. How do I not worry about that stuff? It's some pretty basic needs. Look what he does. This is the next verse. Verse 32. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Don't get turned off by the words of Jesus right now. I know they can seem offensive and strong. Hey, what does he mean by an unbeliever? That's someone who has not put their faith in Jesus. Maybe that's you today as you're joining in. You're watching, you're observing, but if you were to really answer the question, do you believe that Jesus is from God, sent to this world, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and rose again? Do you believe that? Jesus says, people who don't believe that, they're dominated by worry thoughts. See, I know what my kids want. Do you know how I know what my kids want? Because they're my kids. That's how I know. They're my kids. I know that when my son wakes up, he's going to ask me for dad's famous oatmeal. That's what he calls it. Right? It just means there's a lot of brown sugar and a lot of craisins. Don't tell his mom, okay? That's why he likes it so much. I know what he wants. I know what Cece's going to ask for. When she sees me getting on my gym clothes, Daddy, I'm joining you. I know what they want because they're my kids. I wouldn't know that about your kids because they're your kids. But because of a relationship that we have, because I'm their father, I already know what they want. In fact, let me take it a step further. I already know what they need. I know their needs as their dad. Now look at this, because this just goes over our head if we don't get this. Jesus says to a first century Jewish audience who would only ever write out God's name, which was Yahweh, without the vowels. That was their relationship with him. They don't even want to spell the whole thing because his name is so holy. So they would just leave out the vowels. And he says to them, your heavenly Father. You got to understand the weight of this moment for that crowd. They have never referred to Yahweh or Jehovah as their heavenly Father. He is God. He is Yahweh. And now Jesus shows up and says, hold on a second, your heavenly Father, he knows. I want you to comment right now. Dad's got this. Come on. Dad's got this. See, the relationship that you have if you are in Christ with God is that he is your dad. He is your heavenly Father. And Jesus says he already knows what you need. And that's why in just a couple minutes, I'm going to invite you to put your faith in Jesus. Because maybe right now, God's not your heavenly Father. He loves you. He made you. You're made in his image. But the sin in your life is stopping a relationship with him as father and child. But oh, give thanks to Jesus that he came and died for our sins so that we might call him our heavenly Father. See, worry causes you to forget your value, but worry causes you to forget your Father. It's caused me to forget my Father. When I get so wrapped up in things and I start to get dominated by these things, worry causes me to forget, Dad's got this. He's got a plan for this. COVID-19 wasn't a surprise to God. My life's not a surprise to him. What you're facing and going through this morning, God is not caught off guard. No, he's got this. See, here's what's so great. Worship is always better than worry. Worship is always a greater response than worry. And when you remember that God is your heavenly Father, and you can say, well, I could either be anxious or I could be anxious for nothing, and I could begin to worship my God through the storm and begin to praise him and begin to lift up his name, man, that is a much better way to live our lives. And that's what Jesus says next in verse 33. He says, but seek first his kingdom. That's worship. Seek first his kingdom. And I love the promise that comes. His righteousness and all these things will be given to you as well. See, you have a purpose in your life. We say it so often here. You were created on purpose for a purpose. And your purpose in life is not to worry about things. Your purpose in life is to seek God. It's to worship him. It's to bring glory to his name. But when you worry, worry causes you to forget your purpose. It's the last thing that worry will attack. Worry starts over here and it starts telling you, you have no worth. You have no value. No, no, that's not true. I got God. No, no, no. Worry causes you to forget your Father. And when you forget your Father, you stop living for your God-given purpose. You begin chasing the American dream. You begin building purpose. your own life. You begin working on your own kingdom. That's why we sang this song. I will build my life on him alone. I will worship him alone. He's my foundation. He's my rock. He's my sure thing, because no disease or virus can mess with the power of Jesus. If he overcame the grave, then he can overcome anything I face in life. And so this is our God. We seek God first, and he adds all the rest. See, what worry is at its heart is its forgetfulness, and it's really a lack of trust in the God who cares about you. When I start to worry, I'm telling God, I don't know if I can trust you about this. And God is here, and he's saying, no, you don't get it. You've got the order reversed. Don't work on your kingdom. Work on my kingdom, because when you work on my kingdom, then I can take care of your kingdom. Did that go by too fast? Let me say it again, Joe. And we'll just light up this comment bar with amens right now. When you work on your kingdom, what you do is you close the hands of God for him to get into your kingdom. But the promise of this verse is if you will seek him first and his kingdom, all the rest will be added to you. So the best way to take care of your life is what Jesus says, lose your life. Give it up. Seek God first. Put him first. But we all forget. I forget that God's in control. I forget that he owns everything. I forget that he cares about me. Man, I don't know how you guys are doing through this season, but man, my insecurities have really started to surface. God has really been showing me how much work he's still got to do on me. I'm sorry that I'm your pastor. This is who you got, all right? I'm a work in progress, Petey. I'm a work in progress. God is really showing me during this season how I can just forget about him, how I can get one news update and just be like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? The church isn't opening until 2023? That's not a prophecy, and that is not a word from God, okay? We opening as soon as we can. But I can get so overwhelmed by worry, and I can forget. And so I want to read you the last page of the Jesus Storybook Bible. I want you to see how it wraps up here. Jesus knew that God would always love and watch over the world he had made. Everything in it, birds, flowers, trees, animals, everything. And most of all, his children. And even though people had forgotten, the birds and the flowers hadn't forgotten. They still knew their song. It was the song of all God's creation had sung to him from the very beginning. It was the song people's hearts were made to sing. God made us, he loves us, he is very pleased with us. It's why Jesus had come into the world to sing them that wonderful song, to sing it not only with his voice, but with his whole life, so that God's children could remember it and join in and sing it too. God made you, God loves you, and he's very pleased with you. And the reason why he's very pleased with you is because you are hidden in Jesus. Because God the Father looked down on his son and said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And when you are in Christ, all of the blessings that were declared about for Christ, we now become co-heirs with those blessings. And so when worry wants you to forget your value and your father and your purpose, I want you to remember that God loves you, he made you, and he's pleased with you. Dad's got this. He's got a plan. Here's what I would love for us to do as a church. I want us to forget to worry, and I want us to remember to worship. Come on, I want us to forget to worry and remember to worship. To remember in those moments, God, I just want to worship you. I need to worship you because I am so overwhelmed right now. Because I don't think there's a way out, because I don't see it. And so, God, I need to worship you. What if we forget to worry tomorrow morning? What if when you wake up and worry wants to creep in and wants to grip your heart, you say, no, I'm going to forget about that, but I am going to remember to worship God. I'm going to go ahead and put on some music. I'm going to open his word. I'm going to meditate on who he is. I'm just going to sit and seek him first. Why? Because you seek him first and he takes care of the rest. And so I want you to comment right now the title of the message, Forget to Worry. Forget. Let it be a reminder as you write this, a reminder to your heart and to those who are with you right now. Forget to worry. Must encourage each other. Forget to worry. And I want to pray for you right now. And then we're going to sing a song called Jesus, We Love You. Because, man, I could sing Money, I Love You, physical health, I love you. Family, I love you. Career goals, I love you. Hopes and dreams, I love you. And we may not sing that verbally, but man, when we worry about those things, it conveys that that's the song of our hearts. And so let's remember, like the birds, like the flowers, like the trees, Dad's got this. So let me pray over you right where you are. Join me in prayer. And team, you can come join me up here as we get ready to sing this song together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have a plan for our lives. I thank you, God, that you don't want us worrying. That Jesus, you tell us don't worry, but you don't just throw a command at us. No, Jesus, you give us the how. How do we not worry? Well, we remember our God. We remember that, God, you are a father to us and you care about us. And so this morning, thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding us through the words of Jesus that you have a plan for our lives, that you care about us, that you take care of the birds and the flowers, and we have more value than they do. And so, God, forgive us for the moments we forget. Forgive us for the times where we worry. And Jesus, create in us a heart of worship. Right now, I want to speak to you as you're joining. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. You've never put your faith in him. He's not the savior of your life. You've never confessed, God, I need you to rescue me from my sin. Well, I want to lead you in a moment right now where you would put your faith in Jesus. And so if you've never prayed before, I want you to make this prayer your prayer. And team, I want you to pray this with me as well as we lead people in a moment where they're going to surrender their lives to Jesus. Where I'm telling you, it's amazing what the power of God does. Right now, God may not be your father. You don't know him that way. You haven't confessed your sin. But when we're done praying, God is your father. Jesus is your savior. And there is peace that goes beyond understanding. So pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner who needs saving. I believe that Jesus died and rose again so I could be forgiven. Thank you for new life. Today I give you mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, can we celebrate with people who are giving their lives to Jesus? Man, we're celebrating with you right now. And God has a plan for you. And your chat host just told you, go over to blazechurch.org/decision so that way we can connect with you and get you some resources and walk with you in this journey of faith where Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Well, now we want to sing one last song together. We want to worship him. We want to declare, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, you have our whole hearts. You're the caretaker of our lives. And so right where you are, forget to worry. Remember to worship. Let's sing this song out together.